You might think of your home as this just a sanctuary, like a solid foundation made of brick, wood, and drywall where you just park your life.
Right, yeah, a safe place.
Exactly. You buy it, you move your stuff in, and the financial part of it just sits in the background, quietly ticking away on auto pay for 30 years. But the
It's
reality,
very different.
your home is actually one of the most volatile, dynamic, and liquid financial instruments you will ever own well if you know how to pull the right levers.
Which is, I mean, that's a massive fundamental shift in perspective for most people. We naturally like to think of our homes primarily as shelter, a safe
Oh,
haven.
totally.
Yep.
Free sleep.
Exactly. So thinking of the roof over your head as a highly active financial tool can feel inherently risky to a lot of people.
Right, but stepping into the world of mortgage restructuring shows you just how fluid that foundation really is.
Excuse.
So, welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are speaking directly to you.
Yes, absolutely.
Whether you're currently feeling entirely overwhelmed by high property taxes eating into your monthly budget, or, you're just a savvy homeowner curious about how to strategically leverage your home's equity, we have an incredible roadmap to unpack today.
We really do.
We are looking at a brand new, highly detailed guide published just yesterday, March 17, 2026, by Jet Direct Mortgage. It's titled, How to Refinance a Mortgage in Suffolk County, NY, The Complete Homeowner Guide.
And what stands out in this source material right off the bat is how it attacks that set it and forget it
Yeah,
mentality.
the auto pay mindset.
Precisely. It reframes the 30-year mortgage not as this finished transaction that just happened the day you got your keys, but as an ongoing strategy, one that actually requires active management.
Which is exactly our mission today. We're going to demystify this whole process, cut through the jargon, and figure out if refinancing is actually a smart strategic move for you. Because looking at this guide, the jargon is thick.
Oh, it's alphabet soup.
It really is.
Yeah.
Just the sheer variety of loan options Jet Direct mentions right out of the gate.
Yeah.
It's a lot to process. You've got your standard conventional and FHA loans, sure, but then it dives into these alternative non-QM loans.
Right, the non-qualified mortgages.
Yeah, we're talking asset utilization loans, bank statement loans, DSCR, real estate investment loans. Let's translate some of this. If I'm an independent contractor or, say, a real estate investor, how do these actually work in practice?
Well, what's fascinating here is how the lending industry has actually adapted to the modern workforce. A standard conventional loan relies really heavily on W-2 income to prove you can pay the bank back.
Right, the classic pay stub.
Exactly. But if you are a freelancer or a small business owner or an investor, your tax returns are usually optimized to show as little income as possible, right? To save on
Which
taxes.
makes sense, yeah.
But ironically, that makes it incredibly hard to qualify for a traditional mortgage. That's where non-QM loans step in. They use alternative methods to verify your ability to repay.
Okay, let's unpack this. Give me an example of how that works mechanically. Let's take the DSCR loan the guide mentions. Debt service coverage ratio, right?
Yeah, a DSCR loan is a perfect example for real estate investors. Instead of the underwriter looking at the investor's personal W-2 income to see if they can afford the monthly payment, the lender looks exclusively at the property's potential rental income.
Wait, really? Just the rent?
Just the rent. If the rent generated by the property covers the monthly mortgage payment plus a little buffer, obviously the loan qualifies, the asset essentially pays for itself on paper.
Wow, okay. And what about the asset utilization loan?
Similar concept, but a completely different demographic. This is often for retirees who might not have a steady monthly paycheck anymore, but they are sitting on millions in liquid assets.
Like stocks or retirement accounts.
Exactly. The lender calculates a monthly income figure based on depleting those assets over time. It basically allows wealthy individuals with low taxable income to still leverage debt efficiently.
That makes a lot of sense. The lending vehicle is basically matching the reality of the borrower's cash flow.
Exactly right.
So, assuming we know what kind of loan vehicle we're driving, let's look at the actual engine of a refinance. Because a guide is very clear. Refinancing does not mean changing ownership.
No, not at all. You still own the house.
Right. It means replacing your existing home loan with an entirely new mortgage under revised terms. But the guide highlights that one of the biggest triggers for Suffolk County homeowners to do this isn't just grabbing a lower interest rate.
No, it's often shedding mortgage insurance.
Yes. Why is that such a big deal?
It is a massive financial trigger. When you initially buy a house with less than a 20% down payment, especially using a government-backed FHA loan, you are slapped with mortgage insurance.
The dreaded PMI.
Exactly. And unlike regular homeowners insurance that, you know, protects your house from a fire or a storm, mortgage insurance solely protects the lender in case you default.
Right. But lenders don't just delete fees out of the goodness of their hearts simply because you ask for a new loan.
Definitely not.
So why does getting a new mortgage actually make that insurance drop off?
Well, there's a structural reason for that. It goes away because the underlying math of your loan-to-value ratio has organically shifted since you bought the property.
How so?
Over the years, you've been paying down the principal balance of the loan. And simultaneously, real estate values, particularly in places like Suffolk County, have historically trended upward.
So it's basically like trading in your old, clunky car financing for a brand new lease with better mileage.
That's a great way to put it. The gap between what you owe and what the house is worth has widened.
Ah, I see.
And that is exactly the dynamic lenders are looking for. If that gap, your equity has grown to surpass that magic 20% mark, you essentially de-risk yourself in the eyes of the banking system.
Oh, because you have more skin in the game now.
Exactly. By refinancing, you are transitioning your debt out of that high-risk FHA pool and originating a brand new conventional loan based on today's appraised value. Because the new conventional lender sees you have 20% equity, the mandate for that costly government-backed insurance vanishes entirely.
Wow. Wiping out a permanent non-tax-deductible fee sounds like a brilliant way to instantly improve your monthly cash flow.
It really is one of the most powerful moves you can make.
But assuming you're sitting on a comfortable equity cushion, say the $300,000 mark the guide uses as a baseline, the real debate is usually about how to extract that wealth if you need it.
Right, tapping into the equity.
Yeah. The guide breaks down the cash-out refinance versus a standard home equity loan.
Two very different financial mechanisms for accessing the exact same pool of wealth.
Let me test an analogy on this. A cash-out refinance is basically like knocking down your house and build a bigger one on the same lot.
Okay, I'm following.
While a home equity loan is just building a guest house in the backyard, you leave the main house alone.
That is a highly accurate way to look at the debt structure, actually. With the cash-out refinance, you are consolidating everything into a single primary lien-in. One interest rate, one monthly payment.
You're rebuilding the whole thing.
Right. But with a home equity loan, or HELSE, you keep your original first mortgage exactly as it is, and you just attach a secondary lien to the property, the guest house.
So why would I choose to restructure my whole mortgage instead of just taking out a second lien? Like, why tear down the main house?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it usually comes down to long-term cash flow management and the current interest rate environment.
Okay, that makes sense.
If the current market interest rates are significantly lower than what you have on your original mortgage, doing a full cash-out refinance is a home run.
Yeah.
You get your cash, and you lower the borrowing cost of your entire primary debt.
Right, right.
However, if you secured a, say, 3% interest rate a few years ago, and today's rates are 7%, shredding that original contract would be financial self-sabotage.
Oh, yeah. You'd never want to lose that 3% rate.
Exactly. In that environment, taking out the secondary home equity loan preserves your ultra-low primary rate, and you only pay the higher 7% rate on the new cash you extract.
Okay. That is a critical distinction. But let's talk about the toll booth for doing a full refinance, because that new loan is going to cost you.
It absolutely will. There are always closing costs.
Yeah, the guide estimates closing costs run between 2% and 5% of the total loan amount. On a $500,000 mortgage, we are talking about $10,000 to $25,000 just in fees.
It's a significant chunk of money.
Why am I paying that much money to borrow my own equity?
Because you are paying for the massive administrative and legal machinery required to originate and secure a $500,000 asset transfer.
Right, all the red tape.
Yeah. You have lender origination fees, appraisal fees to independently verify the collateral's current market value, and local government recording fees. But one of the biggest chunks that catches homeowners off guard is title insurance.
Wait, really? I already bought title insurance when I bought the house. Why do I need it again if ownership isn't changing hands?
Because you aren't protecting yourself this time. You're protecting the new bank.
Oh.
The title insurance you bought at purchase was an owner's policy. When you refinance, the new lender requires a brand new lender's policy. They need absolute legal certainty that when they pay off your old bank, they seamlessly slip into the first lien position.
Gotcha. They want to be first in line if things go wrong.
Exactly. They need a guarantee that no contractor's mechanics, lien, or obscure tax judgment has attached to your property since you bought it.
So if I have to pay this, say, $15,000 toll booth, how do I actually know if the new lower monthly payment justifies that massive upfront cost?
You have to remove emotion and run a strict break-even analysis. It's actually a very simple division problem.
Okay, let's hear it.
You take your total estimated closing costs and you divide it by your projected monthly savings.
So if my closing costs are $10,000 and my new lower interest rate saves me $250 a month, I divide 10,000 by 250, which equals 40.
40 months. That is your break-even point.
Wow, okay.
It will take you exactly 3 years and 4 months of making that new, lower payment just to recoup the initial $10,000 fee.
Which means if my company is transferring me to another state in 2 years, refinancing is a terrible idea because I'll be selling the house before I ever break even on the fees.
Precisely the trap many fall into. They see the monthly savings but completely ignore the recovery timeline.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. The math of a break-even point is a universal concept, right? Mm. But real estate itself is hyper-local.
Extremely local.
The guide gets extremely specific about the oddities of Suffolk County, New York. It calls out towns like Bohemia, Huntington, Patchogue, and Smithtown. And it highlights that while property values here are incredibly strong, the region is infamous for its punishingly high property taxes.
Yes, Suffolk County has some of the highest local tax burdens in the entire country. It deeply impacts the affordability index for anyone living on Long Island.
So let me push back on a premise the guide implies. If my property taxes are dictated strictly by my local municipality, how on earth does a mortgage company in Bohemia claim that restructuring my debt helps with that? Getting a 6% interest rate instead of an 8% rate doesn't magically make the town assessor lower my tax bill.
No, you're right. Your tax assessment remains completely unchanged. But think of your overall housing expense as a pie chart.
Okay.
You have principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. In a high-tax region like Suffolk, the tax slice of that pie is disproportionately huge. You cannot shrink the tax slice.
Unfortunately not.
Right. But if you execute a refinance to significantly lower the interest slice, or if you extend the term back out to 30 years to lower the principal slice, you shrink the total size of the pie.
So it's an offset strategy.
Exactly. You are creating much-needed breathing room in your total monthly cash flow to absorb those heavy local taxes.
I see. You are manipulating the variables you can actually control to survive the variables you can't.
That's a perfect summary.
But high taxes aren't the only local hurdle. The guide points out some serious geographic complications, specifically coastal flood zones.
Yes. Navigating the coastal geography of Long Island is a massive underwriting factor. If your property is located near the South Shore, the North Shore, or out in the Hamptons, you are likely dealing with FEMA-designated flood zones.
How does that complicate a simple refinance? If I already have flood insurance, shouldn't the bank be happy?
Having it is one thing, but how much it costs is another. Because climate risks have shifted, FEMA frequently updates their flood maps, and insurance premiums have absolutely skyrocketed in coastal areas.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah. When you go to refinance, the underwriter has to factor your current flood insurance premium into your debt-to-income ratio.
So if my premium jumped from, say, $1,000 a year to $4,000 a year since I bought the house, that extra liability might push my debt-to-income ratio too high. And suddenly, I no longer qualify for the refinance.
That is exactly the hidden danger. The coastal risk alters the fundamental math of your qualification.
Man, that's brutal. And then we have the architectural quirk of New York co-ops. The guide notes that if you live in a cooperative building, refinancing isn't just between you and the bank. You have to get the co-op board involved.
This raises an important question about property rights in a co-op. You don't actually own your specific apartment. You own shares in a corporation that owns the entire building.
Right.
And you just have a proprietary lease to live in your unit. Therefore, the co-op board has a vested interest in your personal debt.
Wait, but why do they care if I lower my interest rate?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like a completely personal financial decision.
Because they need to protect the financial stability of the entire building. If you extract too much cash and overleverage yourself and subsequently default on your maintenance fees or your mortgage, it impacts the corporation's bottom line.
Oh, I see. It ripples out.
It does. It could even trigger a drop in the valuation of other units in the building. So boards will demand a deep forensic review of your refinance application. They require shareholder approval, and sometimes the lender will even require the co-op to provide the building's own master financial statements.
Just to prove the corporation itself isn't operating in the red.
Exactly.
Which introduces massive layers of bureaucracy. Synthesizing all of this, you've got FEMA flood zones wrecking debt-to-income ratios, extremely high taxes necessitating offset strategies, and strict co-op boards demanding master financials. With all these incredibly specific New York roadblocks, how long does this whole ordeal actually take?
Surprisingly, the guide lays out a relatively tight timeline, assuming you're prepared. The standard target for the entire process, from application to funding, is 30 to 45 days.
45 days feels really fast for that level of scrutiny. Mm-hmm. How does that timeline actually break down?
Well, the initial application phase is just 1 to 3 days. Then you order the independent appraisal to verify the current market value, which takes about 1 to 2 weeks to schedule, execute, and review.
Okay, that's standard.
Then the file moves into underwriting, which is the heavy lifting. That takes 2 to 3 weeks. And finally, you reach closing.
Let's hover over that underwriting phase. The documentation required here is intense. The source lists W-2s, pay stubs, bank statements, your current mortgage statement, and proof of homeowner's insurance.
Yes, they want to see everything.
This sounds like applying for a job at the CIA. And if I'm self-employed, the source says I need even more paperwork, like 2 years of tax returns and profit and loss statements.
That's right.
I have to push back here. Why is underwriting so heavily scrutinized if they already know the house is worth the money? If the appraiser just proved it's worth $750,000 and I only want to borrow $450,000, why does the underwriter care so deeply about my pay stubs?
It's a really common misconception about how banks operate. This raises an important question, actually. Lenders are in the business of collecting a predictable stream of interest over 30 years. They are not in the business of property management or real estate speculation.
Oh, so they don't want to actually own my house.
Exactly. Foreclosure is an incredibly expensive, heavily regulated, drawn-out legal nightmare that banks want to avoid at all costs.
So they don't want the collateral, they just want the cash flow.
Precisely. They are underwriting your character and your capacity to pay, not just the collateral. They need to verify income stability, employment history, and ensure your debt-to-income ratio can withstand economic shocks.
Right.
And there's another uniquely New York detail here. Attorney involvement is standard at closing.
Oh, really? You need a lawyer?
Yes. In many states, you can close a refinance at your kitchen table with a notary. In Suffolk County, having an attorney involved is standard practice. The bank has an attorney, you have an attorney, and possibly the title company.
That sounds like a scheduling nightmare.
It is, which means that 45-day timeline is heavily influenced by attorney scheduling. If the attorneys are booked up with purchase closings at the end of the month, your refinance closing simply gets delayed until everyone has a free Tuesday afternoon.
Wow. Okay, so you finally get the appraisal, you survive the forensic underwriting audit, the lawyers sync their calendars, and you sit down to sign a mountain of paperwork. The ink dries. Are the funds instantly wired to pay off the old bank?
Actually, no, not immediately. There is one final safety net built into federal law called the right of rescission.
What kind?
For primary residences only, there is a mandatory 3-day grace period after you sign the closing documents before a single dollar is actually disbursed.
Like a legally mandated cooling off period?
Exactly. It was designed to protect homeowners from predatory lending practices. It gives you 3 full business days to step away from the pressure of the closing table, review the massive stack of truth and lending disclosures, consult with your attorney again, and legally cancel the entire transaction with no penalty if you realize the terms aren't what you agreed to.
That is a phenomenal consumer protection. Knowing you have an emergency break even after the paperwork is signed definitely lowers the temperature of the whole process.
Absolutely.
So what does this all mean? Let's bring this home for everyone listening. Refinancing isn't just an administrative chore, it is a highly strategic financial maneuver.
A very powerful one.
Right. It allows you to strip away expensive mortgage insurance, switch into specialized non-QM loans if your income is unconventional, or tap into Suffolk's strong equity for liquidity.
But only if you run the math. You must calculate your total closing costs against your monthly savings and ensure you plan to stay in the property well past that break-even point.
Absolutely. And as we've seen, navigating attorney closings, strict co-op boards, and shifting coastal FEMA maps really demands localized expertise.
You need someone who knows the area.
Yeah, the guide points out that working with professionals who understand the Long Island landscape is crucial. In fact, the creators of this guide, Jet Direct Mortgage, are headquartered right in Bohemia, New York, and they've built a Jet Direct mobile app specifically designed to help homeowners start this rigorous application process directly from their phones.
which really demonstrates how accessible these complex financial tools have become. You just need a clear understanding of your goals before you start.
Right. Lowering the bill, getting cash out, or just changing the terms to match your current reality.
Yes, and I think there is a broader mindset shift here that is really worth pondering as we wrap up.
Okay, what's that?
Well, we are explicitly taught by financial advisors to regularly rebalance our stock portfolios, right? We constantly check our 401ks as the market shifts. We adjust our risk tolerance. We move funds around to optimize returns.
Yeah, it's considered responsible investing.
Exactly. Yet we so often treat our 30-year mortgages, which for most people is their single largest financial liability, as a stagnant, set it and forget it burden.
We just put it on autopay and ignore the friction for three decades.
Right. So what if you stopped doing that? What if you started treating your mortgage as an active living investment, an instrument that should be regularly audited, stress tested, and optimized to match the changing seasons of your life?